order. Let the record reflect that it is 6:07 p.m. on Tuesday, March 22, 2011. Present today, we have Vice Chair Johnson, Representative Pruitt, Representative Kawasaki, Representative Miller, and myself, Chairman Representative Thompson. At today's agenda, we will be holding confirmation hearings on administration appointees. Up for consideration, we have Cora Campbell, Acting Commissioner of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, Mike Smith, prospective member of the Board of Fisheries, and Benjamin Brown, prospective member to be confirmed for the Commission on the Alaska Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission. As a note, everybody please turn off your cell phones, please. As a note on protocol, the committee will be bringing forward the candidates individually and allow them to the chance to make a brief statement before questioning. So with that, Ms. Campbell, would you please come forward, place yourself on the record, and tell us a bit about yourself?
Mr. Chair, committee members, thank you for the opportunity to address you this evening. I'm Cora Campbell. I'm the commissioner designee for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. If it suits you, Mr. Chair, I'll just start with a brief background.
That would be fine.
Okay. I'm a lifelong Alaskan. I was born and raised in Petersburg. Petersburg is a fishing community. I grew up in a fishing family and participated in commercial fisheries along with sport and personal use fisheries growing up. I fished from the time that I was a young child until the time I became a mom, at which point I stopped going on the boat. But I participated in salmon, seine, troll, and gillnet fisheries, herring gillnet fisheries, and crab fisheries in southeast Alaska. After graduating from college, I worked for a local fisheries association. That work primarily involved working on the various regulatory processes that govern fisheries. So I spent time dealing with the Board of Fisheries, the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, the International Pacific Halibut Commission, and followed state and federal legislation affecting the fisheries. I also spent some time while I was there working on cooperative research projects. After that, I went to work for a statewide fisheries association, and my job there was primarily dealing with the federal subsistence program. It was an educational outreach program. This was at the time when state subsistence regulations and federal subsistence regulations were really starting to diverge, and the focus of the program was to inform Alaskans about the new regulatory process, if they could be affected, and educate them about how to participate in that process. Almost 4 years ago, I came here to Juneau and I went to work in the governor's office. Initially, my duties were primarily focused on being a fisheries policy advisor because that's where my background primarily was. But as time went on, my duties expanded and I became responsible for fish and game, the Department of Environmental Conservation, other related issues like Arctic policy, and eventually other natural resources issues under Department of Natural Resources. So by the time I left the governor's office, I actually had a fairly broad portfolio of issues I was responsible for. And on December 1st, I became acting commissioner of Department of Fish and Game, and that's where I've been ever since.
Well, thank you, Ms. Campbell. Committee members, do you have questions? we'll use those as a cheat sheet. Vice Chair Johnson.
Thank you, and this is actually questions from a member who's not here. And Scott and I are going to ask you these questions. Can you give us your view concerning the priority that is given to subsistence hunting and fishing in Alaska?
Certainly. Through the chair, Vice Chair Johnson, I support the subsistence priority that's laid out in state law, and I also respect the federal priority that's provided to rural Alaskans on federal public lands and waters. I believe that subsistence uses and continuing those traditions are a very important use of Alaska's resources, and I would intend to manage the department accordingly.
Can I just go through these, Mr. Chairman?
Go right ahead, Vice Chair Johnson.
And I have some of my own, too. I'm not just plagiarizing everything. How will you work to improve the relationship between the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, the Board of Game, and the Board of Fish, and Alaska subsistence users?
Through the Chair, Vice Chair Johnson, I have begun a dialogue with subsistence users in the time that I have been with the department. And the primary focus of that dialogue has been to let them know that we take our responsibility to provide for subsistence uses seriously and that we desire to work with them to do that. We've been looking to identify areas of agreement, places that we can work cooperatively. There certainly are a lot of areas where the needs of subsistence users and the priorities of the Department of Fish and Game are closely aligned. One example of that would be the need to convince federal land managers to cooperate with us on management for abundance. So we've been identifying areas of shared interest where we can work together.
Go right ahead.
What will you do to address the low salmon returns on the YK over the last 15 years, to address the low salmon returns?
Through the Chair, Representative Johnson, the low salmon returns, especially the Chinook salmon returns on the Yukon River, are cause for great concern because the residents of that area are heavily dependent on salmon, and specifically the Chinook salmon, to meet their subsistence needs. We have been looking at that in a fairly global sense, trying to increase both the research on that population and our assessment program so that we have a better enumeration of what's actually returning to the river, and we can provide the opportunity that's sustainable. So we've been doing test fisheries, deploying new sonar technology, looking for better sonar sites, those types of things to improve our understanding of that run. We've also been working through the North Pacific Fishery Management Council process to get bycatch controls in both the Bering Sea and Gulf of Alaska fisheries, because there are Chinook salmon bycatch in those fisheries that could be impacting the returns to the YK Delta.
Mr. Chairman.
Go right ahead.
Most people agree that we should manage fish and game and wildlife in our state upon the basic scientific principles. Can you explain your knowledge of these principles and which the management of these resources is based?
The Chair, Vice Chair Johnson, that's a fairly broad question, but I would say that there are three principles that generally apply no matter what resource you're talking about. And the first of those is sustained yield. So we manage all the populations to a size where it can sustain itself, replace itself, grow, if that's your population objective, so that you have a diversity of population and a size of population that has that reproductive capability. Another principle that applies is the precautionary principle, which is basically the principle that says the more uncertainty that exists in your population assessment, the more precautionary you are and the more buffer you build in when you're providing harvest opportunities. And the third is what I would call the ecosystem principle, so the principle that everything out there is interrelated and interdependent, and you're not ever managing a population in isolation. So that would apply itself. Those principles apply themselves a lot differently, of course, depending on which resource you're talking about. For a population like salmon, because there's, of course, a lot of natural mortality associated with spawning, then your goal there would be to allow harvest in excess of escapement needs. With a population like rockfish that's long-lived and slow-growing, you would have a much more conservative harvest rate to account for that, those population dynamics.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to summarize this question. Corey, most of your experience is in commercial fishing. That causes some concern from some of the other user groups. Can you please explain why it should not be a concern for personal use and sports fishermen that you are the commissioner with all your vast experience in commercial? I don't know if you've ever had a rod and reel or a dip net in your hand, so please help me understand that.
Through the Chair, Vice Chair Johnson, actually, although I grew up commercial fishing, and that is where a lot of my professional experience lies, I also grew up participating in sport and personal use fisheries. I still do that. It's a regular weekend activity for us. We sport fish for salmon and halibut, which is my personal favorite, and then participate in some of the personal use fisheries for shellfish here in Southeast Alaska. But so I do have that background, and I do have a respect for all those uses of the resource. What I would say is that professionally, when I went to work in the governor's office, I transitioned out of a role where I was involved with any particular segment of the fisheries and into a role that was really where there were statewide responsibilities and where I was responsible to all constituents and all resource users, and primarily an advocate for the resource first, but then for all users fairly after that. And I've established relationships with sport and personal use fishermen and associations, as well as subsistence users, and I feel that I can address those issues in a fair and balanced way.
Members, further questions? Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Cora, for coming in this evening. You mentioned the word bycatch controls. What kinds of ideas do you have to help us out with our salmon runs?
Through the chair, Representative Miller, the North Pacific Council took action that's just being implemented now that places for the first time a cap on the number of Chinook salmon that can be taken as bycatch in the Bering Sea pollock trawl fisheries. There's some disagreement out there about whether the number of that cap is appropriate or whether it should have been lower, but it is a cap for the first time on the total bycatch in that fishery, and that is a step forward. We're working now through the council process to create a similar program for non-Chinook bycatch, primarily chum salmon bycatch in the Bering Sea trawl fisheries, as well as to address Chinook salmon bycatch in the Gulf of Alaska, which, as you might know, spiked in 2010 to a level that was much higher than what we've seen in recent years and is causing concern. Although we don't know the exact distribution of those fish that are caught in the Gulf, we don't necessarily know where their home stream would be if they weren't caught as bycatch. We still want to address that and put a cap and controls on that bycatch.
Let me rephrase the question. I see that those are the things that you have that may already be in place. Do you have any ideas, or are you kicking around new ideas of how to make that that impact a little more positive for the folks that are actually dependent on catching those fish, other than what's already in place right now, whether that be, you know, your own initiative or just the people who work with you making suggestions?
Through the chair, Representative Miller, the only one of the things that I mentioned that's in place now is the cap on Chinook in the Bering Sea. The other two programs that I mentioned are programs that I'm working on through the seat that the Commissioner of Fish and Game has on the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, because these are federal fisheries. So that's the mechanism through which I'm working towards those. And other than just simply a hard cap, which is certainly one way to limit the amount of bycatch, we are also looking at mechanisms to allow fishermen to have access to cooperatives, information sharing, so ways that they can actually exchange information on the grounds about potential hot spots, places to avoid, so that they have the ability to reduce bycatch at all abundance levels. Is that more along the lines of what you were asking, or?
I guess that's probably as close as I'll get this time. It's okay. One follow-up
question, Representative Miller.
During your tenure, have you had to hire people?
Through the chair, Representative Miller, yes, I have. When the previous commissioner retired from the department on November 30th, there were a number of other staff that retired at the same time. So when I came into the department, there were a number of positions in department leadership that needed to be filled, and that was one of my first tasks when I got there, was to build a leadership team with a diversity of experience.
Last question. Have you had to fire people?
Through the chair, Representative Miller, I've been fortunate. I have not yet fired anyone.
Thank you.
Vice Chair Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I think the yet is what I found refreshing. Sorry, nothing personal. The 1% that the Bristol Bay Fisheries collects for salmon development, can you explain that model to me and how the money is used And what I want to get to, is that a model that would work in other areas as far as you can see? Because it seems to be fairly successful in terms of gathering some money. So could you explain that a little bit and what you think that's, how does that work and how's that money distributed?
Through the chair, Vice Chair Johnson, that is collected through a regional seafood development association, which is a model that came into being at the time that there were some changes made to the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. The 1% assessment on salmon was repealed, and what came into being instead was the ability for fishermen to vote to assess themselves that 1%. It's collected by the state, but it's a pass through to a regional seafood development association. They elect a board of directors from among the permit holders who have voted to assess themselves, and that board of directors is actually responsible for making decisions about how those funds are expended and what will best benefit their fisheries. There are provisions for those groups to be formed in other areas besides in Bristol Bay. In fact, several of them have been formed. There's one called Aleutia that's in the False Pass area. I believe there's one in Prince William Sound as well. So, and I know that it's been considered several times in Southeast, but it hasn't yet come into being. So there's some potential there for other areas as well.
Follow up.
Along the same lines, how does the state have any oversight over that money? Do we have, I mean, are we just collect it? Do we get a cut or anything? Or do we just collect it and serve as, and then let them do what they want to do with it?
Through the chair, Representative Johnson. The money is collected and passed to the association through the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. They have regulations that govern the way that's administered. I'm not familiar enough with the regulations of that department to tell you exactly what kind of restrictions are in place on how the money can be spent or what oversight role they might have.
If I could follow up. I just have some questions about how Trout Unlimited is a good marketing vehicle for Alaska salmon. And I know they get some grants out of this fund, and I'm just curious how that ties in. Is there anything as a state we can do? And is that money being used for political purposes? Is it being used for, I want to tread lightly here, advocacy or non-advocacy of specific issues? And or is the state complicit in that if we don't have some oversight in how that is spent?
Through the chair, Representative Johnson, I think probably the best thing for me to do in answer to your questions is to talk with the commissioner of DCCED about what regulations her department has for oversight. And we can get an answer for you about that.
Thank you, Commissioner, but I think I can have that conversation.
I'm sure you can.
Just as easily, but I wanted to, I know that we collected, it's a salmon, it's under your purview initially because of the collection, and at least it goes through. Maybe you're not involved with it at all. I see Ben back there shaking his head. Maybe you have nothing to do with this at all, and at least I've started my search by finding out you're not involved. Is that, I don't see, now he's not shaking his head at all.
Through the chair, Representative Johnson, I do not believe we are involved in any way with the administration of that program, and we certainly don't have an oversight role as to how the money is spent.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Ms. Campbell, the International Halibut Commission, with their restriction on limits of numbers and size restrictions, is kind of devastating a lot of the charter fishing people in the Southeast. Is there anything that we can do as a state, because this is a federal mandate?
Mr. Chair, it is a federal process, management for halibut. We don't have any management authority for halibut, but I share your concern about that 37-inch limit, and I'm especially concerned that it may be more restrictive than what's needed to hold the charter fleet to their allocation. So one of the things that the department has been working on is our attempt to analyze what size limit might work to hold the charter fleet to their allocation, and attempting to work with the federal regulators to see if there's a mechanism by which something else could be adopted.
Further questions from committee members? So, thank you very much, Ms. Campbell. Now we'll open it up to some public testimony. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone in the room? Well, I have some people in the room that said that they would like to testify. Julianne Curry, if you'd come, please come forward. You put your name on record and state your affiliation, and go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Julianne Curry. I'm the executive director of the Petersburg Vessel Owners Association. We're about 100, between 100 and 120, multi-gear, multi-species fisheries association with business members as well. So we fish all the way in Alaska from Ketchikan to the Bering Sea. Every fishery in Southeast Alaska is represented under the vessel owners. Our number one legislative priority for this year is the confirmation of Cora Campbell for Commissioner of Fish and Game. The vessel owners were fully supportive of having Cora step into the governor's office when she became the fish policy advisor, and they did so knowing full well that once she stepped into this building, she would no longer be representing the commercial fishermen. She would be there representing every single person in the state of Alaska and doing what is best for the resource no matter what. So when the time came for Cora to become Commissioner of Fish and Game, the vessel owners once again threw their full support behind her, because we recognize that she's not here to work for the commercial fishermen, and she's not here to work for the sport fishermen or the personal use fishermen or the subsistence fishermen. She's here to do what is best for the resource 100% of the time, and the vessel owners is fully supportive of her confirmation because we know she is the girl to get the job done. Thank you.
Questions of Ms. Curry? Thank you very much for your testimony. We also have Jerry McCune in the audience. Jerry, if you place your name on the record, then state your affiliation, and we'll take your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jerry McCune. I represent United Fishermen of Alaska. It's made up of 38 different groups from the Bering Sea to Southeast and South Central, and four members at large. We support Cora Campbell for the commissioner's position. She's smart. It's a new breath of fresh air, I feel, from the departure of how we had commissioners in the past. And I've worked with Cora inside the governor's office and outside the governor's office. She always comes well prepared or researches an issue and does an excellent job. So I think we have an excellent choice before us here, Mr. Chairman, and she'll make an excellent commissioner for all Alaskans.
Any questions? Thank you very much for your testimony. Okay, we've got a few more that are on the phone. We'll go to Carl Johnston from Anchorage. Are you on the line?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I am.
Place your name on the record and tell us your affiliation, and we'll listen to your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Carl Johnstone. I'm currently the Vice Chair of the Alaska Board of Fisheries. I'm not speaking on behalf of the Board, although I can say I've heard comments similar to what I'm about to say from other Board members. I'm speaking in support of Commissioner Campbell's appointment. I know that there have been some concerns about the possibility of her having a lack of scientific background or experience. And I'd like to just make an analogy. The Board of Fish is a lay board that makes policy decisions on issues that involve a great deal of scientific information. And we make these decisions after being provided this information from the scientists with the department. The commissioner is surrounded by scientists and managers who can provide her all the information needed for her to set policy. And in my opinion, based on my knowledge of the commissioner, she is more than capable of assimilating this information and before making policy decisions. What the position needs, in my opinion, is strong leadership. And in my opinion, based on my knowledge of her, she'll be a very good leader. She has demonstrated that in several ways. She attends all the Board of Fish meetings she can, and which are most of them. She participates. She listens carefully. She knows she has a certain learning curve, and she knows by listening she's going to learn more than by speaking. So she listens, and she assimilates. She's made some outstanding employment decisions. Some of the people she's picked for her directors and other staff people have been outstanding, and that's a good sign of leadership. I think she's going to make an outstanding appointment. I think it was an outstanding appointment to in the first place, and I certainly support her for the position, Mr. Chairman.
Questions? Seeing none, Mr. Johnston, thank you very much. Also online, we have Rick Geese. Geese, are you there?
Hi, my name is, yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead and place your name on the record, state your affiliation, and we'll hear your testimony.
Hi, my name is Ricky Geese. I'm the executive director of Kenai River Sport Fishing Association. We're a 501c3 nonprofit charitable fishery conservation organization. We're the largest sport fishing association in Alaska. We support Cora Campbell for Commissioner of Fish and Game. I've had the pleasure of working with Commissioner Campbell first in her capacity as the fisheries advisor in the governor's office and now as the commissioner designee. She is smart, articulate. She's very approachable on issues. She's willing to listen to the concerns of stakeholders and users and then works to her, towards a resolution that is warranted. There's been some talk about, Carl Johnstone brought up about her understanding of scientific issues. I think she's very refreshing. I think she has a firm grasp of scientific issues. For example, in our most recent Upper Cook Inlet meeting, we've been talking about how to pass fish through to the Northern District. And when she told me her review of the issue, she was surprised that we don't have more genetic data for sampling in the drift fleet in Cook Inlet. And I was happy to hear that that's a priority on her list of research issues for funding. That's the first commissioner ever that I've heard in the last 20 years that has spotted a gap in research that is necessary for the Board of Fisheries to make good judgment on issues that are before them. So we are in support of Cora Campbell, and we hope that I think she'll do a great job as commissioner. Thank you.
Questions? Hearing none, thank you very much for your testimony. Next, we'll move to Fairbanks. We have Craig Campo on the line. Craig?
Yes, can you hear me okay?
Yes, if you state your name for the record, give us your affiliation, and we will hear your testimony.
My name is Craig Campo. I'm a 50-year resident of Fairbanks, Alaska. I'm a board member of Sportsman for Wildlife Alaska, SFW, speaking on behalf of the board and myself. I'd like to strongly endorse Cora Campbell for Commissioner of Fish and Game. We have been very impressed with her attitude, actions, and her knowledge of the issues on the game side, and I know she's got a lot more history on the fish side. Just having dealt with her on the game side, we've been very impressed. There's been criticism of the thickness of her resume, and I can tell you from a 50-year resident, I've known many of the past commissioners and those that have much thicker resumes, and I watched the moose population, for example, where I hunt in Unit 13, go from 30,000 moose down to about 7,000 during the direction of some of those commissioners who had much thicker resumes. It's not about the resume, it's about the attitude. And I think Cora Campbell has the right attitude. I think she's gonna be very successful in her position. She's all about abundance. She has the ability to see both sides of the issue, and I strongly support Cora Campbell as I do as a board member for SFW representing 3,000 Alaskans. Thank you.
Questions for Mr. Campo? Seeing none, thank you very much, Craig. Next, we have Ken Larson up in Fairbanks also. Are you online, Ken?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Commissioner, and welcome, Cora. I'm representing myself and also speaking as the Secretary of the Prince William Sound Charter Boat Association, which prior to the implementation of the charter halibut permit system this year, we had roughly 26 or 27 members. That's probably been cut to at least half of that. Anyway, I have no specific objection, nor does the organization, to Cora's appointment. We've worked with her in various methods and manners over the years. But I do have a few comments and questions I'd just like her to consider and you guys to consider. In light of the recent 30 to 40% reduction caused by the limited entry program in halibut charter operators starting this year and the one fish 37-inch rule in Southeast, the economic impact to Alaska tourism and to the operators is devastating. and this was mentioned earlier. This was brought about by the dominance of the IPHC, North Council, North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, and Board of Fish Councils, and ADF&G commissioners, in all honesty, by commercial fishery interest in the past. And it's been at the expense of the sports fishermen, both guided and non-guided, as well as the subsistence and personal use users, the rest of the user group. The commercial fisheries controls between 85 and 90% of the average annual halibut catch in Alaska. Granted, halibut is a federally regulated fish, but the ADF&G commissioner can certainly have an impact on the governor's appointments to the boards and councils and North Council's voting on the various issues on fisheries. Is Cork willing to do this? It's well documented that the sport fishing public brings more dollars in the Alaska economy that stays here than the commercial fisheries have done, where a lot of the money goes south. What else can she do to help the sport fishing and subsistence industry? Excuse me, subsistence is not an industry, but the sport fishing tourism industry. Also, what can she do to influence the halibut bycatch and wastage that is caused by the comfish industry each year to the extent of roughly 13 to 14 million pounds per year that's still occurring, that's been ongoing since at least 1995, even with the declining catch limits we're currently experiencing? Thank you.
Questions for Mr. Larson. Mr. Larson, as I saw Cora back here taking notes, so I'm sure that she's going to be addressing some of those issues. If there's nobody else in the room to testify, then I'll close to public testimony. Any further discussion by the council, by the committees? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'll have to admit, when Commissioner Campbell's name first came up, I got several phone calls as former resource chair and being very involved in the sports industry with concerns. I believe that we've heard from a lot of the people in different user groups, and I've personally had a chance to work with her, and I think she is going to be an outstanding leader. I look forward to having her serve as commissioner. So I think that's a little editorializing, but I'm very pleased with the fact that the opposition that she started with has been pretty much turned around to support, and I think that speaks volumes to her ability to work across different lines, different user groups. And one thing that we sports people must remember is, if you think it's tough between commercial and fishing, you ought to get in gear type wars, because those guys fight just as vehemently for their gear type as anyone else. So the war within the commercial fishing industry is just as severe, so I don't envy her that, but I'm looking forward to having her commissioner and working with her in the future.
I have to go along with what you're saying, Vice Chair Johnson. When I first got down here in January and the session started, I had a lot of emails and a lot of opposition from groups and individuals. And since then, I think darn near 100% of them have retracted their opposition and came back and said, now that they've met her, talked with her, understand her philosophies, that they do back her now, and they change their positions also. So, any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll move on to Michael Smith. Mr. Smith, are you online?
Of course, Guy Miles.
No, he isn't. Okay, we'll move on to Benjamin Brown. Ben, would you please come up, put your name on the record, and we're eager to hear about you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Benjamin Brown, and I have been appointed by the governor to the Commercial Fisheries Industry Commission. The appointment was announced on the 1st of February, and I began my duties there on the 1st of this month of March. And so if it's all right with you, Mr. Chairman, I'll give some brief biographical information to the members of the committee about myself.
Go right ahead.
All right. Thank you, sir. Well, like Commissioner Campbell, I'm also a lifelong Alaskan. My parents, who are both doctors, were very clever and chose to move here after they graduated from medical school in 1964, just a couple of months after the great earthquake. And 3 years later, I was born in Anchorage and have enjoyed living in this great state ever since then. I went to grammar school in Anchorage, actually briefly in Honolulu. Both my parents did their medical specializations in Honolulu, but came back to Alaska pretty quickly both times. From sixth grade on, I lived in Palmer, graduated from Palmer High School. Went off to Georgetown University's School of Foreign Service, where I got my undergraduate degree, a Bachelor of Science in Foreign Service, concentrating in Western European History and Diplomacy. Not certain what I thought that was going to do for me later on in life, but maybe it made me understand things in the world a little bit better. I returned to Juneau after I got my degree at Georgetown. My dentist, Kurt Menard, Senator Linda Menard's late husband, was a newly elected member of the Senate at that time, and he needed a legislative aide at the last minute before session began, and that was a really fortuitous occurrence in my life because I got to come learn about the Alaska State Legislature and the inner workings of state government. And over the course of the 90s, with a little interruption after my first session with Senator Menard, I got to work for some other really wonderful legislators, Representative Cynthia Toohey, Senator Drew Pierce, and my last boss before I went off to law school was Senator Tim Kelly, from whom I learned a tremendous about how this process works. He's also the one who basically said that I shouldn't remain a legislative aide forever, and not if there's anything wrong with that. And he encouraged me to go to law school. So I did go back east to Northeastern University School of Law in Boston, and to my great surprise, I found law school not quite so difficult as I was told it was going to be, and really quite enjoyable. In some ways, more enjoyable than being a lawyer in private practice, I guess, because everything is somewhat theoretical except for the marks at the end of the term. Law school enabled me to do a number of what are called co-ops. It's the Northeastern system where you get to go, you have to go and work and not just be in the classroom every other quarter after your first year. And so I did my first one for Senator Ted Stevens, and that was just a memorable experience I'll never set aside for the rest of my life. I also got to come back and work in Alaska, both for the Office of Public Advocacy and for a firm in Anchorage, Gilmore and Doherty. And then I finished up actually working for the public advocate for the city of New York. Knowing I was coming back to Alaska, I thought I would probably try to live in Manhattan while I still had a chance. And I came back to Juneau once again to clerk for Judge Larry Weeks, who was at the time the presiding judge for the First Judicial District. And that was another excellent experience, being a Superior Court law clerk, especially for a presiding judge who was on the bench for a number of years before I went to work for him. I got to see every sort of case come across my desk. Although he did most of the criminal law stuff himself, because we have a Court of Appeals, and there's a lot more precedent for criminal law in Alaska for Superior Court judges than civil matters. After I worked for Judge Weeks, I've had a number of interesting experiences for other branches of government, working as an administrative law judge at the Department of Revenue, doing child support enforcement appeals. I got to lobby for the State Chamber of Commerce, for the private sector, for one session here in the Capitol. I served as legislative liaison for the Department of Environmental Conservation for a year. And then for about the past 4.5 years, I've been in private practice, first for Choate Law Firm, and then for the past 3.5 years for Baxter, Bruce, and Sullivan, a firm here in Juneau that's been around since the late 70s. And the statute that the legislature passed implementing the constitutional amendment that the voters passed in 1972 calls for members of the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission to have a broad range of professional experience and not to have any vested financial interest in the commercial fishing industry. And I do not have any sort of vested financial interest, although I do love Alaska seafood as much as any of us. And I also believe I have a good broad range of professional experience. Most importantly, I think, as an attorney, that will enable me to do the job that I've been appointed by the administration to do. So that's a snapshot of who I am. I've known some of you for longer than others, but I've had a chance to speak with each of you one-on-one as desired. And so I would wrap it up there, as it is already a quarter till 7 in the evening, and you still have another confirmation if you get Mr. Smith online. And I would open myself up to questions from the committee, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, Mr. Brown, what drew you to the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission? Why that particular one? You know, you gave us a pretty good lowdown on your professional career as an attorney and working for judges, and now you're changing to the fishery industry.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I became aware that Frank Homan was going to step down from his position on the commission late last summer. And so before I was rash enough to throw my hat into the ring for consideration to be appointed to the position, I conferred with people whom I trust a great deal, including Judge Weeks, about whether or not I would be suitable and if it's something that required a commercial fishing background. And it really does not require such a background. It requires, although certainly I'm aware of commercial fishing fishing issues from my time as a legislative aide, working in Senator Stevens' office, and indeed as a law clerk for Judge Weeks, and also the firm I worked at, there were some nexies with commercial fishing issues. But it's really more about being a quasi-judicial part of a panel that has to create a body of law that abides by the dictates of the Alaska Constitution and the statutes that have been adopted pursuant to that constitutional change the voters made in 1972, and of course, as interpreted by our friends at the Alaska Supreme Court. So the ability to learn the jurisprudence of the CFEC and what we can do and what we can't do and the reasons why we can do some things and we can't do other things was a skill set that not just myself, but others whose opinion I valued told me that I possessed. Both of my fellow commissioners are here. Retired District Court Judge Peter Frelick is someone whose opinion I value greatly as well. And again, before I stuck my neck out too far, I conferred with him and sort of asked, well, on a day-to-day basis, what is it that the commissioners do? And following those conversations, it seemed to me like it was an appealing job. I loved working at the firm I was most recently at, and I believe they still have a pretty good opinion of me and were somewhat sad to see me go. But private practice is difficult even if you only do one kind of law, and I was doing a great variety of kinds of law at Baxter, Bruce, and Sullivan. And I didn't want to continue having that many different kinds of expertise that I was developing. This position presented an opportunity to learn more about one very specific, it's been described by one Supreme Court justice in Alaska as an arcane type of law that really requires some building up of knowledge over time, and that's something that appealed to me, and so I did indeed put my name forward, and I'm very grateful that the administration saw fit to appoint me to the position.
Committee members, does that raise any questions? Seeing none, Mr. Brown, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is there anybody in the room that wishes to give any testimony about the appointment of Mr. Brown to the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission? Seeing none, members, no more? All right, next we'll move back up the calendar to Michael Smith. Mr. Smith,
he's not.
Pardon? He's not, still not online? We don't have him.
Hello.
Mr. Smith, is that you?
Yes, sir.
Fantastic. Your appointment to the Board of Fisheries, if you'd please state your name for the record and give us a little bit of information about yourself, we'd appreciate it.
Certainly, Mr. Chairman. My name is Mike Smith. I'm a Koyukon Athabaskan from Nulato on the Yukon River, and the best way I've learned to describe it is if you look at a map of Alaska, it's about halfway from Fairbanks to the mouth of the Yukon River, just below the Koyukuk River. That's where I first originally started fishing, of course, the subsistence lifestyle of my family and relatives. Over the years, since then, I've gone to work for Tana Chiefs Conference, where I've been involved with subsistence activities for a long, long time. During that period of time, I've had the opportunity to participate in a number of fishery-related board or committees and groups. I've been a member of the North Pacific Council Bycatch Committee on Yukon River, on King Salmon in the Bering Sea, and then currently involved with the Chum Salmon bycatch issue. I've also am a sat as a member of the Joint Technical Committee of the Yukon River Panel, the treaty panel established between Canada and the U.S. Pursuant to the Canadian-U.S. Treaty. I'm also an advisor to the panel itself. I've also participated in a number of organizations that we've set up over the years to look at some of the salmon problems facing Western Alaska. For example, the AYKSSI, there's a lot of acronyms here, but that's the Arctic Yukon Kuskokwim Sustainable Salmon Initiative. I've also sat on WASIG, which is the Western Alaska Salmon Group, and I've also sat on WASUP, which is the Western Alaska Salmon Stock Identification Program. Also, in my role as Tana Chiefs, I've also had the opportunity to work in the field as well, and we run a number of assessment programs. We run a counting tower in cooperation with the Tech Pogo Mine on the Good Pasture River outside of Fairbanks there. We also run a weir project up at the headwaters of the Koyukuk River. And then we're also running a, in light of the declining Yukon River King Salmon, we are running a sampling program of Yukon River salmon. Hopefully we'll be sampling Yukon River King Salmon all the way from the mouth of the Yukon to the Canadian border next year. And we're really excited about that program, Mr. Chairman. But I don't mean to go on and on, but that's kind of how I got involved in these fishery issues and have garnered an incredible education over the years as to these processes.
Well, thank you, Mr. Smith. Do any of the members have questions for Mr. Smith? Seeing none, I do have anybody in the audience like to testify. Seeing none, I have Ricky Geese on the line who wants to testify about Mr. Smith also. Mr. Geese, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead and put your name on the record again and give us your affiliation, and we'll hear your testimony.
Sure. My name is Ricky Geese. I'm the executive director of Kenai River Sport Fishing Association. As I said before, we're a charitable nonprofit fishery conservation organization. Mike, we are in full support of Mike Smith, confirmation for the Board of Fisheries. He's been around the Board of Fish process and fisheries management process in Alaska for many, many years. He understands what is expected from Board of Fish members and has shown himself to be up to the task. He's a quick study. He's been an active member on the board. He understands the importance of building a track record for decisions that the board makes. He does a great job of getting the department and stakeholders to expand upon and clarify their information on management issues and research. He is not shy about asking people questions, and I find that really refreshing as a Board of Fish member. I was just there today, and there was information presented, and Mr. Smith had his hand up first and asked some really important just basic information questions about on the issues that were under consideration. He's very approachable. He does the reading and work necessary to understand the proposals under consideration for the Board of Fisheries. He comes well prepared and he understands what's expected. He has a broad knowledge base of fisheries management in Alaska. I think all the different committees and processes that he's worked with on salmon issues in the Yukon have made him an excellent candidate for the board because for salmon issues and salmon managements throughout the state, and that's one of the primary responsibilities of the Board of Fisheries. In addition, those same principles are applicable to all the different management decisions on the commercial, sport, personal use, and subsistence issues that are not related to salmon. I think it's really important that the Board of Fisheries has a person who understands the Yukon and interior fisheries very well. Mr. Smith is that person, and we consider him to be very well qualified as a Board of Fisheries member. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Geese. Any questions from the members? Seeing none, thank you very much. All right, if there's no further testimony, the committee would like to thank all of our appointees for joining us this evening for their willingness to serve. We appreciate both very much.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
This is Carl Johnstone. I signed up to testify on behalf of Mr. Smith, and I'm not sure why that didn't get before you, but I put my name down for both Mr. Smith and...
Go ahead and state your name then again for the record and your affiliation, and we will hear your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Carl Johnstone. I'm a vice chair of the Alaska Board of Fisheries, and I'm speaking for myself, but I've heard similar comments from other members. I'm speaking in support of Mike. I think his is an outstanding appointment. He's provided the board with a much-needed unique perspective from rural interior Alaska. The Board of Fish membership presents a daunting task. One needs to learn a new language and a foreign process. Mike hit the job running. His experience in other venues, which he just related to the committee, became instantly apparent and has proven very useful. While others, including myself, faced a very steep learning curve when appointed, his was less steep, and he has been far better informed with the issues from the get-go. He has proven to be prepared and open-minded and waits until getting as much information as is available before committing to a course of action. He is showing he's not afraid to make hard decisions, too, which sometimes is difficult for board members. He's not afraid to ask questions that other board members might refuse to ask for fear of showing a lack of knowledge. And as Ricky Geese said, that's very refreshing. And yet he asks questions that are very probing and very important. I remember him on some of the Cook Inlet questions that went right to the heart of the matter that we'd all missed. He's very accessible to the public. I see him mixing with the user groups on a regular basis. He's aware of the importance of listening to those users, and also he's very aware of the importance of the advisory committee recommendations. I certainly enjoy working with such talent and hope he's confirmed, Mr. Chairman.
Questions? Thank you very much, Mr. Johnson. Next we have Craig Compo, who wants to testify on Mr. Smith's confirmation also. Craig, are you there?
Yeah, I am. Thank you, Vice Chair Thompson.
Go ahead and place your name on the record again, and we'll hear your testimony.
Yeah, my name is Craig Compo. I represent SFW and representing myself today for the endorsement of Mike Smith. I've known Mike for several years and been extremely impressed with his ability to not only engage in controversial issues, but to see both sides of the issue, work with Mike on both fish and game issues. Mike's been involved with our group on some fights with the National Park Service, my favorite group. And Mike's been extremely articulate, professional, and represents not only rural Alaska, but all of Alaska as far as the ability to put meat and fish in their freezer. I think Mike could be a really good choice for more fish, and I strongly endorse him on behalf of myself and SFW, the board of SFW, representing 3,000 members in Alaska. Thank you.
Questions, Mr. Compo? Thank you very much, Craig, for your testimony. Any further testimony? All right, seeing none. Members, do you have any other comments to make? Then without objection, the House Special Committee on Fisheries, having reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointees, will forward the names of Ms. Campbell, Mr. Smith, and Mr. Brown on to the joint session of the legislature for further consideration. If the members would please wait to sign the committee report, and a reminder that signing that report does not reflect a member's intent to vote for or against any of the appointees during any further session for the purpose of confirmation. And that will conclude our confirmation hearings for the evening. The Fish Committee will meet again this Thursday, March 25th, and under bills previously heard, will continue its consideration of House Bill 181 regarding commercial fishing crew member statistic and data collection. And the time is 6:58 p.m., and I will adjourn this meeting of the Special Committee on Fisheries.